The world was at war once. That was supposed to be the war to end all wars. Then we had another world war. And after that, you had a lot of countries sitting down saying, all right, we don't want to do this anymore. We're not going to do this. So we're going to put some things in place so that this doesn't happen anymore. And while we aren't a world at war right now, we certainly have some concerns over what Russia and Vladimir Putin are doing in their war in Ukraine. And to help us talk about this from a historical perspective, from a legal perspective, is someone who can handle exactly both of those. And it is great to have him with us right now. Please welcome Ian Snedden to London Live. Ian, how are things?
I'm good, Mike. Things are fine where I am.
Okay, excellent. Now, you can help us out from a history perspective, from a legal perspective. How do you find yourself watching what is unfolding in Ukraine?
Personally, I find it very difficult to watch. And, you know, I remember studying history early on about World War II and what went on there. And, of course, the refrain, it'll never happen again, never again. And I see a lot of similarities. The annexation of Crimea that Russia did a few years ago reminds me a lot of the Nazis' occupation of the Sudetenland, and then that led to the invasion of Poland. I see some similarities. A more accomplished historian might see even more. So it's a great concern.
Ian Snedden joining us from Cohen Hiley Lawyers as we look at the war in Ukraine right now. And I guess when we look at history, we soak things in all at once, saying, okay, well, on this date, this happened, and it's like it happened very chronologically and very quickly. Things like this often have a lot more space in between them than we kind of skew on the dates when we're learning it, don't we?
Right, because we really don't know what will happen. History is always in hindsight. So you might remember or studying about Neville Chamberlain after the Sudetenland famous speech, we'll have peace in our time. And then, of course, World War II breaks out. So we look at it in hindsight. Going forward, we really don't know what will be the outcome of what occurs here. I can say with some confidence, particularly with a ruling yesterday by the International Court of Justice, they ordered, and Russia made presentations on this, as did Ukraine. The International Court of Justice has ordered Russia to cease and desist from their military operations. So I say with even greater confidence today than I would have a few days ago or weeks ago that, in my view, the Putin-led Russian government and state is in violation of international law with this aggression against Ukraine.
And there's a great thing to talk about right now. Ian Snedden joining us from Cohen Hiley Lawyers. And that is the International Court of Justice. Ukraine said, hey, we want to appear. They gave their side. Russia gives their side. So the International Court of Justice looks at it. They rule, yeah, get out. Russia, no, get out. What power actually exists from a legal perspective when we look at an international court? Can you help us understand that picture?
Sure. So both Ukraine and Russia relied on certain provisions of which they were signatories, but enforcement is difficult in part because if Russia fails to abide by the order made by the international court, in theory, it would go to the UN Security Council. And guess what? Russia's on there and has a permanent veto power. So that's not going to be the route that will lead to justice. What we've seen historically, so for example, if one remembers in the former Yugoslavia, Milosevic, the Serbian leader at the time, and he was convicted of war, or he was in the process of being convicted for war crimes anyway. It's a long process, and he died of a heart attack, as I recall, in jail. So enforcement is tricky. How it's normally being done is the order is made. The difficulty is they can't go into Russia if that finding was made, and it has not been made at this point, despite President Biden saying that Putin is a war criminal. That finding has not been made in law yet internationally. He's just been ordered to cease this. But if he were convicted of a war crime, how do you get to him? How do you have him tried? And typically what we've seen is that the person ends up either in another country and they're arrested there where a law would apply, or more commonly, it's within the jurisdiction, meaning there could be Russian people, Russian actors who might take it into their own hands, either to have their own form of trial for him down the road or to cooperate in getting him arrested.
Interesting. But it's not like you can just say, okay, we have charged him with being a war criminal, so make way. We're going to walk into Russia. We're going to go to wherever he is. We're going to put him in handcuffs and lead him away. This is not law and order.
No, it's not that simple at all. In fact, the International Court has no power of arrest whatsoever. So they can make a finding, they can make an order, but they don't have a power of arrest. So that has to be left to others to invoke or take care of.
Ian Stedden with us from Cohen Hiley Lawyers as we look at a legal and historical perspective all at once, which is such a great perspective to have. We know that sanctions have certainly damaged the ruble. We have seen all kinds of companies decide, no, we're not going to be operating in Russia right now. So this is, it's hurting Russia. But when we look at maybe reparations or payments that Russia could face at the end of this, how do you bring about the legalities and how do you force a country to pay reparations?
Right. So the international community does, and the international court could order reparations. There are provisions under, I can't remember whether it's the Rome Statute of the International Court or something else, but although a power of arrest is difficult, they could find that reparations must be paid. The limitation there is that the damages, the legal term, the money that is going to be paid or the reparations ordered, have to be specific to the person who has suffered the harm. So an order that Russia pay whatever amount of money, $1 billion, $10 billion, wouldn't be something that the international court would do. They would have to look at individual claims or perhaps collective claims to determine the amounts. So somebody who is distantly affected by it would not have a claim.
Okay, so that is something that obviously needs to be decided after the fact. If we would one day see Vladimir Putin indicted as a war criminal, you mentioned there's no power to arrest, but could that have any kind of impact until this war or whatever this turns into is over?
It could go past the war. So I think currently, first of all, it's a very slow process with Milosevic. The trial had already begun, and it was going very slowly. You could expect it to take, you know, several years before something is resolved in that regard. But they do have power to make an order for imprisonment. So some of the ranges, there were from the Nuremberg trials, there were four Nazis convicted. Their sentence was 10 to 20 years. Under the current regime or rules of international law, I think the maximum penalty is 30 years, but there is a special provision for up to life imprisonment.
And where are you imprisoned? Is there an international prison?
That I don't know. That's beyond my knowledge of international law as to where they would end up in prison, but I'd be speculating whether it's The Hague or somewhere else. The reality is that if we look at other cases, there was a guy, an actor, I think his nickname was Chemical Ali, and I think they killed him. And in many cases, that's what occurs, right? When there's victor's justice, they can do things. So there was an execution, I think, of him. That wouldn't have been ordered by international law. That would have been an Iraqi government that had opposed the previous government that would have put that into place and provided the death sentence. The International Court does not order death sentences.
Wow. Well, we would love for the legal world to move quickly in any case, but it has to be thorough. Otherwise, it wouldn't be as effective as it is. And when we're looking at this, it would be nice to say, yeah, well, we lined this all up so it would never happen again. And unfortunately, I think that was pretty unrealistic to even think, don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's been conflict for thousands and thousands of years. I'm a little surprised by what's happened. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, Mike, one of my favorite quotes that's attributed to the philosopher Burke is that the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men, I think in today's days, good people, to do nothing. So I think that's a lesson that he said that, or it was attributed to him, and he was a philosopher in the 18th century. So that's a long time ago where there's a recognition of, hey, if there are human rights violations, if there are international laws broken, then his call out was, you need to do something. And as a lawyer, I mean, I'm not much use in any other way, but if I can provide some input on the legality of it, and it helps people make up their own minds, then I'm happy to do so.
Well, Ian, thanks for doing that today on the show. Really appreciate the time.
Well, thanks, Mike.
We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good.
That is Ian Snedden from Cohen Hiley Lawyers. As we look at some of the legal ramifications in all of this, and we'd like to say, yeah, well, very quickly, let's figure out whether in an international court of justice, whether someone could even do this. It doesn't work that easily as we might imagine, but there are some penalties that can come up after the fact. Problem is we have to find after the fact and when that is. Let's take a break for traffic and weather. We'll let you know what the forecast has in store for tomorrow. Don't be hoping for weather like today, especially by Saturday. And then we're going to discuss the border after 5 o'clock. This is London Live, and you're listening to 980 CFPL.